Again, we're going today we're going to continue with the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. We covered Acts chapter 4 verses 26 to 33 last Sabbath. So we will continue from there to the end of that portion of scripture. Okay? So a little bit last Sabbath we saw that we went over and saw how the disciples began to experience persecution for those who don't care about the kingdom of Elohim. For those who don't really care about, who didn't care about Elohim or really his people, but were just looking to have things their way for their own benefits, as we saw. Previous Sabbaths, you know, they saw the miracles that were done, but refused to be moved by that. They didn't care that a miracle that was done by Elohim were done through these disciples in the name of Yeshua. But, as said in verse 16 of chapter 4, they just wanted these men to stop speaking in the name and the authority of Yeshua. They didn't want this kingdom. So they continued. So the disciples were being persecuted and they prayed. And Elohim gave them the power to continue teaching with boldness, as it says in verse 31. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of Elohim with boldness. Okay, so the Eternal answered their prayer. They did not rely on their own strength when they were threatened, and neither should we. We always need to turn to Elohim in all adversity, even in joy, we should turn to Elohim and give him praise. But we also in adversity, we need to turn to him and not to trust in our own strength, because there's no temptation that we've met beyond what's normal. It's Elohim that protects us. Any of us can be tempted, were it not for his mercy, beyond what we can bear. So we should never think of our own strength, but always rely on him. So in verse 32, it talks about the multitudes that came to believe and how they were all united in one thing. I'm sorry, all united in one heart and one soul. And they sold what they possessed. They did not regard what they possess as being their own, but they shared with each other. With who? With the brethren, with the fellow believers in Messiah. They were not sharing this with the unbelievers, with just anybody. This is not what it's saying, that they were sharing everything they had with each other. And, yes. So, let me catch up to where I am. And, all right. And why? Because with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the sovereign Yeshua. And great grace was upon them all. So they had the prophets in their midst. The apostles were all prophets. That's the minimal of their qualifications. The Spirit of Elohim made them all prophets. And they had these servants. And so these people who believed in the Torah had the confidence, the right confidence to trust in those, to believe the words of those who were prophets, who had the prophetic gift. They did not just have knowledge from learning, from carnal, from fleshy learning, from study like regular people do. These were empowered by the Spirit. And it was manifest to all the believers. So they had no fear, no reservation in sharing and having all they possess in common. Neither was there any among them that lacked. How many congregations today where people claim to be quote unquote the church or whatever they might call themselves, an assembly. Some of them might even call themselves a congregation or in a Hebrew kahal, Elohim. But yet there's poor among them. There's those that lack. And yet they claim to be led by the Spirit. That is not so. For if they are led by the Spirit, there neither was there any among them that lacked. The ministers would not walk in their fancy suits and clothing, while among them are fellow believers walking in rags or in less. No, the true ministers of Elohim would make sure that the fellow members have, and everybody who has, which will share with what they have, under this proper condition that is set here. That's the condition we must pray for. Okay? A lot of people are praying for revival, for revival. We have to repent of our sins. We have to walk circumspectly. We cannot be lax in anything, because these people were not lax in anything. They did not divide over issues that they created themselves, but were following the apostolic teachings. Right? So they even sold their lands. And verse 30, continue verse 34 now. It says, the rest of verse 33 where we ended last Sabbath. And it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the sovereign Yeshua, and great grace was upon them all. And the grace is the word, it's in this sense, endowment, gift. The great blessing was upon them all. It wasn't their own virtue that was manifesting here. We have to understand this. It's not their own piety. It's the great gift of Elohim that was on them all. The great gift of the sovereign Yeshua was on them, because they have committed themselves to truth and righteousness and were baptized. So in verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. That's what they did. They brought the prices and they brought them to who? To the apostles. And what did verse 35 says, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet. And the apostles distributed, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So the apostles did not put all of this and gave themselves a bigger portion and gave a little bit to everybody else. But no, made distribution to everyone according as he had need. And verse 36, and Jose, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. And as we read more in the book of Acts, we'll see a little bit of hints as to why he's called that, the son of consolation. He was a Levite. He was a priest in the lineage of Moses and Aaron, and of the country of Cyprus. That's where he's from. And what did he do? Verse 37, having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So everybody from all walks of life who believed brought it to the apostles. Okay, now we know according to the Torah, should a Levite have land? No, Levite should not. I shouldn't say they shouldn't have land, but they did not have the possessions as did the other tribes. They were scattered throughout. They lived throughout all the lands of all the tribe, of all the 12 cities of Israel. So they were scattered and served each city they were in. So that's verse 37. So it showed us that's chapter 4, how they preached the gospel, how they were persecuted by the unbelieving Jewish leaders and so on, and how they prayed for strength, received this strength, and they continued preaching the word mightily, and how they were unified. No matter, instead of being scattered, as many are in persecution when the Spirit is not really working among people, or when the congregation is not doing what it's supposed to be doing, as we will see later on, there's a time they will get scattered, and we'll see why that happened. But as long as we're doing what we're supposed to, we will not be scattered. So they're unified despite the person. Why? Because they were so bold, because they were so strong, because they were so spiritual? No. Because the Spirit of Elohim empowered them, and that's what we need. It's not by our might or by our powers, but by the Spirit of Elohim, says the Eternal. So we as the congregation of Elohim, we need to really humble ourselves and not try to go by our own strength, but always cry out to the Eternal, and we will find we will have the strength to do what we need above and beyond. We're going to move to chapter 5, but just a little bit, something I learned while watching a little history about the Roman attack, as I was watching something with my dear daughter about the attack, the destruction of Jerusalem, is in verse 6 of chapter 4. It's very interesting. It says, let's talk about verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. I was wondering, who is this John? Why is John there? Wouldn't John be among the disciples? Why is John? Because I'm thinking, I'm confused. Is this John the apostle? Because the apostles are together. Why is John gathered with them who are opposing the apostles? Well, it seems like, and I'll confirm this as I go on for you, and others who might have confirmed this during the Sharon time, you could confirm this for us, but it looks like to me John was not the apostle John. But another John was one of the leaders among the leaders of the Jewish community of that time. Because as I listened to this documentary, there was one of the leaders, who was also named John, Yochanan. So I'm saying this so we do not get confused with when it says in verse 6 of chapter 4, where it says, and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. It's not the apostle John. It's another John. Okay? So, just wanted to bring that to your attention. So, I thank Elohim that he has somehow allowed me just to come across that in information for clarification. Because I had found that to be odd, that I knew it couldn't be the same John. You know? Or perhaps John was there just to support the apostle, the rest of Israel, but it turns out this is another John. I will confirm that as we go on. So let's go to chapter 5. See how much time we have. Okay, we have a few more minutes. So in chapter 5, I will read up to verse 11. But a certain John, Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has the adversary fill your heart to lie to the set apart spirit? And to keep back part of the price of the land. Whilst it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto Elohim. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the spirit. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Verse 9, then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the spirit of the eternal. Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the spirit. And the young man came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the congregation, and upon as many as heard these things. Amen. Okay, so let's go back. We think we could finish this today, this portion. So we see what happened. Ananias and Sapphira, they were, as we read in chapter 4, by the workings of the Spirit, there many came and were united. They were united and sold what they possessed, and distribution was made. That was already done. Keep that made. Keep that division and that in mind. They brought it to the apostle, then the apostle made a distribution. But there was a certain person named Ananias and Sapphira. They kept back part of the price. And his wife knew it. Okay? She knew it. And they laid it at the apostles' feet. Wow. They brought some of it. Look at what's going to happen. Let's consider this. And Peter being full of the Spirit. This is not something, these judgments, this is why we say it's not something that could be done just because you know the law, just because you know the Torah. Who could do this without the Spirit of Elohim? Who could do this by just learning? You can't. This is information coming to him, to Peter, by the Spirit, letting them know what has happened, that they kept back part of the price, and that they both, and that the wife knew about it. So Peter says to Ananias, why have you done this? And so the wife wasn't there, obviously, right? Why have you done this? Why have Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back of the price? Okay. In the scriptures, Messiah said, let me turn there, see if I could turn there quickly. And then Matthew, the book of Matthew, he says, offense will come. Verse 7, woe unto the world because of offenses. Verse 7 of chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18, verse 7 says, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense come. Right? And elsewhere in the scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 to 20 says, for first of all, when you come together in the congregation, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, up to verse 19, actually. For there must be also heresies among you. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest. So our sovereign Yeshua says, woe to those who causes the offenses. And in the book of Acts, the apostle Paul says, these things must happen so that they which are approved may be made known. So you see, brethren, when you start seeing people accusing others and cannot comply and cannot, even when begged to, you know, show us what's wrong. Can you show us what's wrong? Where's the problem? And they don't show what the problem is. These are signs. But you show woe to those by whom the offense comes. And see, Satan has deceived Ananias and started to create this division. In this case, it's because of money. They loved their wealth and pride. So they said, yeah, I brought this much, but they actually brought less. And what did Peter tell them? Look, the money is yours. Why is this necessary? Why are you, you know, doing this? Why? Because of his character. He was proud. He wanted to stand for what he believed rather than the truth. What was it that he believed? He believed in his wealth. And he was too proud to just say, you know, I have $100,000, but I'll just bring $25,000 of it. He could have just brought $25,000. He didn't have, there was no command that says sell all you have. It was a motivation of the spirit, not of the flesh. But he behaved in the flesh and pretended he brought everything he had, but more than he actually did. And that was wrong. In the kingdom of Elohim, the congregation of Elohim, there's no room for tares, as you will see. There's no room for it. It's not going to happen. The spirit will always rid his body of tares, for he will present his congregation himself as pure and spotless. He'll never allow it to be tainted. As long as the congregation remains, is his congregation. So he says, while it remains, was it not yours? After it was sold, was it not in your power? Why has you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto Elohim. And I see great teachers, people who should know better, outright teaching things that are not so. Unbelievable. And claiming it is so. I'm carefully going through a lot of things. You know, because the Apostle Peter says, the apostles teach that we should hold back what we understand sometimes while others speak and come to judgments and they don't understand that the person they're speaking with already knows these things. They think the people are ignorant to things when we're not ignorant to them at all. Some of us have gone through these things a long time ago, and we've gone through, and the Spirit of Elohim has given us the victory a long time ago, but they think these things are new when they're not. So we hold back our understanding until the right time. And so it is right here. This man thought he could deceive Peter, and it was a sad turnabout. He fell at his feet. And to cut to the chase, the same thing happened. And about verse 7, it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. See, had she told the truth, had she not, that wouldn't have happened. Then Peter says in verse 9, how is it that you have agreed together? You have agreed together to tempt the spirit of the eternal. We know the eternal can't be tempted. That's what they want to do. Okay. And it's not even what they want to do. It's basically Peter is basically saying, why are you putting yourself in a position to be destroyed? Is basically what he's asking. How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the spirit of the eternal? And some will tell you, you know, them give no honor to the spirit. And one day we'll do that, a teaching on the spirit, so people can understand. Because some dishonor the spirit of Elohim greatly. Greatly. And they don't understand that Yeshua says, whoever sins against the Son will be forgiven. Whoever sins against the Father will be forgiven. Whoever sins against the Spirit will not be forgiven in this world nor in the world to come. So that means they will not make it through. They will not be a part of the millennial kingdom. And they will not be a part in the new heavens and the new earth. It's a sentence. It's a second death sentence. That's what it is. There's no forgiveness for that. And we could know more about that in the future. It's the scriptures make these things clear. But behold, the feet of them that have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry you out too. You out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the spirit. And the young man came in, found her, and you know what happened. And great fear came upon all the congregation and upon as many as heard these things. And verse 5 says, And Ananias, hearing these things, these words, fell down and gave up the spirit. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And again, verse 11, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. So we saw a congregation being formed in verse 1. How it was the history being told that it was they received the Spirit from the sovereign Yeshua on the day of Yom HaBikurim, on the day of first fruits. Then they replaced Judas. Then on the day of Pentecost, the power of that Spirit they received manifest greatly. And many were baptized, came to faith, and were in union, and there were peace and union and joy. Then they were persecuted, as we saw in chapter 4. Then they prayed for power and overcame their adversaries with the power of the Spirit to continue speaking boldly. And the effect was so great that the people became so unified that they sold everything. All that were in his hands. Were Ananias and Sapphira in his hands? No, they were not. They were not in the Messiah's hands. And he let them know that. See, Satan has a job. People don't understand that all are his servants. And one of the things he does, he is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, not whom he wishes to devour. And Elohim will allow him to devour some. That's his job. He will go throughout wherever. He will devour all those who claim they are messiahs and are not. He will. That's his job. People don't understand that. For all are his servants. Just like King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians' job. They did not love Elohim necessarily. They did not do his will. They were pagans, but they were chosen to punish Israel and many nations. And so Satan is, until his time comes, is a tool to bring about Elohim's will in this earth. Whoever does not do the will of Elohim is caught by him and sift as wheat, as he intended to do to Peter. Woe to those who trust in their own strength, in their own knowledge. For Elohim will make these things manifest by his Spirit. For his Spirit does dwell in those who repent of their sins and will make manifest the truth of Elohim concerning all things. For Elohim safeguards his congregations wherever they are. And all things that are not true will be made so clearly manifest in time. Praise be his name. So there's no room for anyone to boast. For it is all things are done by Elohim and by his Spirit and by no man's strength. And all who rely on their strength shall see, and hopefully many will repent rather than fall away. So, dear brethren, great fear came upon the congregation. This was the beginning of a transition. So I stop here at verse 11 of chapter 5. And next Sabbath, we will see more of what goes on in the congregations and what we can expect to go on. So understand that the true congregation of Elohim, this has never changed and never will change. The Spirit of Elohim works mightily in the congregation of Elohim. And I say, by his mercies, you will see the same in the congregation of Elohim. If this is the congregation of Elohim that you are participating, you will see the same. Amen. So thank you for listening.